I've had the privilege of being in and around banking for more than 50 years. Lots of changes during that time. We've gone from ledgers to laptops, typewriters to technology. One thing, however, remains the same. Banking is a people business, and I'll be talking with those people that make banking great here on Jackrats with Modern Bankers.
Hey, it's Thursday. Hi, Bryn.
Hey, Jack.
You know, we're going to talk about a really interesting subject today, leveraging influencer content to start conversations. But like I always do, I want to talk to you about a few programs that are coming up. We've got a great April on Jack Grants with Modern Bankers. I start next week, excuse me, with Tom and Sarah. Tom is the president of a bank y'all should know. It's Integral Bank. It's a $50 million startup bank, but they're so unique. Then it follows the next week with Ben Udell, who's going to speak out at the Financial Brand Forum, the best marketing forum on earth. And Ben's with Lake Ridge Bank up in Wisconsin. We're going to talk about AI. Then, of course, my third week in April is one of the things we're going to talk about today, Chris Nichols, who's an amazing influencer in banking. And then the last one is a best-selling author, Corey Perlman, who wrote a book on LinkedIn. That's April. But today is a big day, Bryn. It is opening day. And I'm wearing my hat and my sweatshirt for the world champion Chicago Cubs back in 2016. Seems like yesterday it all started. I know you're a Phillies fan, and what a great day. What a opening day is so amazing. And go check out my post this morning that I wrote. Jack GPT wrote the post, all 100%. And it's just an inspiration to me every opening day. It's so much fun. Great to see you.
I love it. Great to see you too. Yeah, I got to share my first baseball memory, which was really fun.
So. Yeah, it's great. So let's talk about influencer content. You know, you're an influencer, first of all. You have almost 70,000 followers. You write amazing content. People like Chris Nichols in banking, as I mentioned, a great, great influencer. There's so many influencers. So let's start with an overview. What's an influencer? What does that mean?
So, you know, an influencer in my mind is someone that gets people to think differently about a topic. You've influenced them in the way that they're looking at things or thinking of things. Now, in the YouTube, Instagram influencer, or there are people that are reviewing Amazon products and influencing you to buy, right? But in the B2B world, it's really about showing up as a subject matter expert and a thought leader, essentially leading people to think differently. So in my mind, an influencer is someone that can have an impact with content.
So there are people like Guy Kawasaki, for example, who I got a chance to interview for his great new book, Think Remarkable. He's got 3 million followers on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
He's an influencer. I want to get down to the very local level, because I know you want to talk about some folks that are more national influencers, and that's important. But let's get down to the local level. I'm at a community bank. I'm in St. Charles, Illinois. To me, what I could think about is, geez, I should, Bryn Tillman's an influencer. Indeed. But who could be an influencer on a local level?
Yeah, I love that. And we call them micro influencers, right? And it could be, you know, the Chamber of Commerce director. It could be the mayor. It could be someone who runs the local library that shares content. It could be, you know, just if you have events. So my daughter lives in this little town of Verona that's 1 square mile, but it is all, like, no joke, like old fashioned Americana, right? Like every house has an American flag, and they have like the Santa Claus comes around in the fire truck on every single street, you know, and they have all these events that there's this like town square where they have incredible events all the time. Who's advertising those events? Who's responsible for getting that content out at scale? They're influencers, right? So take a look at your community and the folks that are sharing content that are attracting people that you want to have conversations with.
Yeah, and you've got some great stories about people that may have been influencers for you, and now you might be influencers for them. And for you, Bryn, this happens all the time.
Well, it's a lot of fun, but let's talk about, like, what do we do with this, right? So we've got this influencer content. How do we use this to start conversations? So, and let's just stick with the micro level influencer for a moment. So let's say you have, you know, someone in the town council that's sharing events, just when the meetings are, and it's public, right? So now you have, first of all, you want to reshare that, right? So that you're helping to promote it, but you also want to look at who's engaging and engage with them. And then we want to take that event and send it to the inbox, whether it's email or LinkedIn or Facebook or wherever you're hanging out, and ask your prospects and your clients, are you attending? Because I am, and I'd love to see you, right? So we can use these events, these conversations, these, you know, whatever this is on a micro level to start conversations. On a macro level, right, globally, social media, you want to look at a few things, but ideally, what influencers are attracting the people that you want to have conversations with? So if you want to have conversations with incredible bankers, you're following Chris Nichols. If you want to have conversations with small business owners, you know, you'll find who's talking about small business. I follow a small biz lady, Melinda Emerson, right? So she's the small biz lady. So she attracts tons of small business owners. So you find who is your micro influencer or macro. That's the key, is who's attracting the people you want to have conversations with. Because I'll tell you one last thing. I know I get so excited about this concept. Now we have, let's go back to micro for a moment. We have these events. We have all these people that are engaging. We start conversations with them. We're now connecting with them in a way that is not salesy. It's in a networking mentality, in a community connection mentality. And this is why I'm starting to talk to bankers a lot about, go back to having open houses with coffee and donuts in your branches. Invite people in for networking opportunities, small businesses, after hours, breakfast, whatever it is, bring people back into the branches. Because these are events that give you an opportunity to invite people to, and you can start to build relationships again. And then you become the micro influencer.
Yeah, that's such a great point. I think too often what happens, we get tied up in our underwear around this square here that we're talking to. And I think we forget that there's a great blend of opportunity here to go out into the real world and shake some hands and then come back and be able to use who I've met. And I don't mean use in a bad way, but use who I've met to help me have conversation, more conversations with them, and then help me influence others potentially. So we talked about networking and micro as one way. I want to get involved with influencers. How can I find them? I mean, I guess first is, you know, who is an influencer in our industry? And we talked about Chris Nichols and the small business thing. But how do I find them? If I say, okay, here's my niche, mm-hmm. How do I go about finding these influencers?
So there are a few things. Number one, start talking to your clients and say, who do you follow? What podcasts do you listen to? Like, the best thing to do is ask, right? And so if you have some clients that are listening to one podcast, that may be of interest to others. You can ask them, Lena, what magazines do you subscribe to? What newspapers? What topics are of interest to you? So that to me is the best, right? And, you know, when I start conversations with people on LinkedIn, and it's around, let's say they engage on Jack Hubbard content. So I'm going to start a conversation with them going, see, we're both big fans of Jack Hubbard. Did you hear him on this podcast? Happy to send you a link. So now we're talking about the influencer first. Then I'll say to them, is there anyone else that you follow? So I can start to learn more. I can look at their LinkedIn profile and see what they're engaging on. I can also use hashtags to find content. It's good. It's not great. Hashtags to find content. Things like if you wanted banking to be what you're looking for, banking industry has an enormous amount of hashtag banking industry has an enormous amount of following and content. But if you're looking for the local stuff, you really have to ask, like, what's going on locally and what's happening. I would actually leverage, and you may not think I'm crazy to even go here, but I would leverage other platforms to find content. So locally, Instagram is probably bigger than LinkedIn. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be on LinkedIn. You need to, but that's where you could bring it into LinkedIn, right? So you can find content in other places. Get on every local newsletter, your chamber of commerce, even if you're, well, you should be members of your local chamber of commerce. That's kind of a no-brainer for a couple $100 a year. But you know, get on the board of the chamber and start sharing the content of other people on the board. The other thing is start ringing the bell of all of your customers and your clients, right? Because they may be micro-influencers in your community. So make sure that you're engaging with their content. So when you ring the bell and they share content, they're going to come in to your notifications when they share content, and that becomes content that you can engage on and then engage with the commenters. So it really comes down to, this is just kind of, look at each of these hubs of content like a networking opportunity.
Boy, that's a great catch. And I also think too, I was in Kentucky yesterday doing a program, and one of the things we talked about, it was a sales program, but one of the things we talked about was connections and why first degree connections are so important. This is another reason, because one of the things you want to do at a micro level is, I'm not just going to keep commenting on your post. If you're local to me, I want to have a conversation with you. So one way I can do that is if I engage on your post, I can do that if I'm a second degree connection to you. But if I want to start a conversation with you, and if I want to continue to amplify some things that, geez, Bryn, I see you do a lot of things around LinkedIn. I found this interesting podcast, but I can't send you a message unless I'm a first degree connection. So it really does go back to, Bryn, don't ignore connecting with people in your community. It's not about how many you have. It's about the right people you have, because they can end up being influencers, and then you can have a conversation with them if you're connected.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's this fine balance between volume and quality, like quality and quantity, right? And I agree that it isn't always the number, but I do believe, and I actually was just talking to a banker the other day who is a purist. So he only wants to connect with people that he's met in person. And I said, you know, it's very similar to like if Jack and I went to a networking event and we went into a corner and talked the whole time and didn't meet anyone new, why'd we go to the networking event? We could have just gone to a Cubs game, right? But, you know, but at the end of this, there has to be a networking mentality. We don't want to be a LinkedIn open networker or a lion where we're connecting with everyone, but we also don't want to be a purist where we're only connecting with people we know. So take a look at the people that you're engaging with and say, look, if they were in a networking room, is this someone I'd want to know? And if the answer is yes, connect and then get to know them. It's okay, right? Like it's okay to do it. It's just walking up to them in the room and saying, hi, I'm Bryn Tillman. Nice to meet you. Looks like we're both fans of Jack Hubbard. I have other content that he's done. Are you interested? Who else are you? Like, it's this conversation. It's a normal conversation. One of the things, Jack, that we say all the time, treat the person on the other side of the message the same way you would if they were on the other side of the table.
Yeah. And I think that's true if you think about the networking situation. I'm always offended when I hear somebody say, well, I'm going to the networking event to work the room. Sounds like the people that you're going to meet are your victims. But if you go with a it's better to be interested than interesting mindset. Yeah. Then what you can do is more people will come to you. And so in that conversation, you're just going to have a conversation and you might say at some point, geez, thank you for your card. Do you mind if I give you a call? Which leads me to my question. It's easier, I think, when you do that face to face, because you can kind of gauge how's the conversation going. Are they ready for me to ask? LinkedIn is a lot different, and I want to know what the trigger is in your business. I mean, you've done this on LinkedIn for a while. What's that trigger of I've sent some material? I have said, hey, here's a couple of podcasts. What's the trigger for you that says it's time for me to ask for a conversation?
That's a great question. And I'm not sure you're going to love the full answer, but the first thing is there's a gut. Just like there are times where I know I just feel like it's okay. However, if we had to put like a formula around it or something like that, it would be three back and forths, right? So it could be, and not that you've sent three and now it's time. It's you've had a conversation, but here's the thing. When you ask for the conversation offline or online, if it's Zoom, but you know, out of LinkedIn in person, we need to make sure that the conversation is aligned with the conversation we've had. We can't bait and switch it. We can't, right? So maybe it's first conversation. See, we both love Jack Stefty. Would you like the podcast? Yes, please send that link. Awesome. Hey, we just put out a poll. I'd love your one-click vote. And they vote. That's number two. Number three, hey, I'd love to share some insights on what we found from this poll and where you benchmark to your peers. Are you open to a call? Okay. Right? Fabulous. So that would be one path. Another path would be send a link, Jack Stuff, who else do you follow? I also follow Chris Nichols. Oh, Chris, he's amazing. I learned a lot from a podcast I listened to his. I'm happy to send that to you. And I'd love to share some of the insights I gleaned from that podcast. So it's hard. I mean, can you put a campaign in place? Absolutely. You can say, all right, this is the structure. But, you know, every response is going to kind of create, it's like the if-then statements, mm-hmm. right? Like, if they do this, then we're going to do that. If they do this, then we might go here. So it's hard to just say generally when, but I think, as I'm speaking this, I think when is when they've responded and you have additional insights you can share on that response. That might be the trigger. I think I got there.
I think you did. And so we've been talking a lot about outbound. So, and I want to talk about Mark and Hunter and Meredith Elliott Powell in a second, because we both love them and we follow them and they're significant influencers. But there's also an opportunity when there's an inbound situation. So I'll give you a story. So, and I said this because when I interviewed Chris and we talk about it, he basically said, here's how we ended up doing business. I reached out to him and said, look, you've got, you know, we connected. And I said, look, you've got amazing content. What you write for banking is really good. And nothing. That was it. I wasn't saying, hey, by the way, if you'd like to have a conversation. So the next day, he reaches back out to me and says, hey, I got your message. You know, we're thinking about some sales training. Is that something that you might be interested in talking about? So bottom line is, after he looked at 20 different companies, we ended up earning the business and worked with the bank. So there are opportunities, Bryn, for that inbound, and you need to be ready for that. And here's one thing that really concerns me. So I'm a customer and I'm an influencer to the bank. If I reach out to the bank's website and I say, I'm kind of interested in your situation, I could influence some additional business for you. What irks me is that lead just stays there and it dies. And it's the same thing with LinkedIn. You know, you know this better than I. I believe about 25% of people are on LinkedIn every day. And that number is fewer for bankers. If you work hard to do all the things we've been talking about, and then you're not on the platform, you're never going to see if there's an inbound opportunity. And maybe you get on 2 days later, and then it's too late. So I don't know if you want to comment on inbound influencers or influencing, but I think that's certainly an option.
Yeah, and inbound, I love that. Inbound is not just in your inbox. It's a comment on your content. Yeah. Inbound, right? So inbound is something that we have attracted to us. And so I think most people will respond to the message. Maybe. But and LinkedIn will send you an email in most cases when you have a message. You'll get it to your email. But the inbound that I think is the biggest miss is when people are commenting either on your comments or on your content, and maybe you go back and like it, but you don't do anything with it. So, and even more missed are people that react to your post. That's an inbound, right? They're reacting to your post, but they didn't comment. So you think, okay, well, they reacted. I can't like their like. So what do I do? Well, a lot of times we'll go through that, and not all of them, but if maybe there are 14 reactions and 3 people, and there are people I want to start a conversation with, thank you so much for engaging on this post. I have additional content on the same topic. If you're open, let's connect, and I'm happy to send that over. So there are so many other opportunities in inbound that get missed beyond the inbox. So that's kind of my thought.
That is brilliant. And it reminds me that LinkedIn is a horizontal platform, not a vertical. And what I mean by that is, we do connections, and then we do posts, and then we do comments.
Silos.
Those are all interwoven into your desire to have a conversation.
Yes, yeah, so we shouldn't silo them. Break the silos down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I wanted to end this program by talking about some friends of ours that, and I met Meredith Elliott Powell back in the early 1990s when she was a phenomenal banker, and met Mark Hunter when he was on a program of mine. He's written a couple of great books, and you know them really well, too. This is a great example of these are both influencers of ours. We see their podcast every Saturday that you can talk about. But it's also led you down a path of other influencers and other conversations that you've started.
Yeah, I have built fantastic relationships with people in the comments. So at 8 a.m. on every Saturday that I'm able to make it, I am on that there live, and you can go right to Meredith's LinkedIn profile at 8 a.m. Eastern on Saturdays, and it runs. And that's what I do. You know, it's interesting. I go there. I don't wait to find the event. I just know every Saturday morning, you know, I just click on. So I engage, I comment, and I comment for lots of reasons. I love to engage, but I also am looking to network with other people. So I'm liking other people's comments. And from that, I can't tell you how many opportunities and relationships have opened from that. But there's a woman named Natalie Benamou who runs Her Suite. We've become friends. We've been on each other's podcasts. We've done like, and it all came out of engaging on their podcasts, engagement. So, you know, don't minimize. This is, I think, what kind of spurred the topic today of leveraging influencer content to start conversations. Mark and Meredith attract the same people we're looking to attract in a lot of different ways. And so starting those conversations, whether they become referral partners or people that can amplify our voice and we can amplify theirs, the influencers that are attracting the same people we want to talk with, it's just an online networking event, and they're the keynote and all these commenters are the audience. So you would be networking and having conversations. And so it's just find your people, find your influencers. And when you're consistently showing up, you're going to consistently have conversations.
Yes. And let's be very clear. When Bryn and I comment on what Meredith and Mark are talking about, it's related to the subject. I've seen a lot of people on other live shows that would create a link and say, if you're interested in my coaching business, that's just smarmy. That's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's sad. Well, it's opening day. It's a great opportunity for you to start over and think about this whole idea around influencers. And one thing that you brought up, and I love makeup words, so I do, I call them fitfluencers. There are millions of influencers out there, but there are some who influence in not such a positive way. You need to make sure you find that the influencers that you have and want to engage with and go on to a conversation are a fit for your organization. Because once you start down this conversation path and you start to find, and maybe they become a client and they come into the branch and they turn the branch upside down and inside out, they're not going to change the way they are. You have to understand that, is this a fit for me going in, and how much do I want to pursue this? So got to be real careful about that.
I love that. I think that's a brilliant way to end this.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, this is always a fun week, fun day to be able to do this. It's a special day because it's opening day. And I think this conversation was really important. This is yet another way for you to connect with people out in your community. I especially love the macro discussion around your community. Or the micro discussion around your community. Great stuff, Bryn. Great to see you.
Great to see you. Have a wonderful baseball opening day game. Go.
I'll see you in the World Series again. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Gaining the trust of a business owner is no easy feat. It requires hours of research and preparation, learning the ins and outs of their business, the industry, and even their local economy. But it doesn't have to. Made by bankers for bankers, Vertical IQ is your trusted source for reliable, convenient, focused, and localized industry intelligence all in one convenient place, helping your team save time, boost sales, and gain a competitive edge. Learn more at verticaliq.com.
Thanks for joining us for Jack Rants with Bryn, brought to you by our good friends at Vertical IQ and RelPro. We're live on LinkedIn every Thursday at noon Eastern Time, helping bankers turn connections into conversations. Don't miss an episode. Visit themodernbanker.com/TMB podcast. Leave us a review if you would. You can also listen to this program and the new Jack Rants with Modern Bankers on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and iHeartRadio. We're on YouTube as well. Subscribe at youtube.com/@themodernbanker. Finally, don't forget, make today and every day a great client day.